I mean to speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Well, it's lovely to be back after a couple of weeks away. And I have to say, yesterday at the wedding, I've never known the church so unbelievably hot. It was beautifully decorated. You can see a little bit of it now. But the flowers were really spectacular here yesterday. And the Holy Spirit was flowing. Do you know, it's a wonderful privilege to be able to take weddings. It really is. Because I find that people are at, in many ways, their most natural. They come here to celebrate something which is so deep within inside us, so primal to us, which is the gift of love. And Ashley and Christina, who are very central to this community, got married yesterday. Now, Ashley's mother, a lot of you will remember Brooke Lacour. And Brooke is very ill, as you know, with Alzheimer's, and is in the new retirement home up on La Pointe. And it was wonderful to see the local community turning out in support of the family. Roger looked unbelievably smart in his suit and coat and tie here yesterday. How he didn't die of the heat, I simply don't know. But there was something really wonderful about this service. The local community and others coming together to celebrate love, Ashley and Christina. Christina comes from Bulgaria, a wonderful bridge, if you like, across the nationalities, and to celebrate the Lacour family as well. And for this church, that was really important. Brooke did an enormous amount for this church over a period of 20 more years. And when I first became vicar here 15 years ago, she was right at the centre of what we did in this church, and Sandy and Margie will remember that for longer than I do. And so she was a real powerhouse, not only here, but also actually pretty much single-handedly created the tourist market on this island. And I remember that from the early 80s when I first met her. I also did a renewal of vows earlier in the week for a young couple, not that young, fairly young couple, younger than me. Fairly young couple who had been married for 10 years. And I'd also done the renewal of vows for their parents last year, which was rather wonderful to do the two. What was interesting about both of these couples, Christine and Ashley, and the couple I did the renewal for, was that I don't think either of the couples would have regarded themselves as card-carrying Christians. They certainly felt that they were spiritual. They certainly had what they regarded as a spiritual dimension in their lives. And for them, it was really important to celebrate that and to feel it in what they regarded as the most important part of their lives, which was their marriage. And that was a wonderful thing. And we sat and discussed that over a number of meetings, certainly with Ashley and Christina. And they chose, eventually, to get married in this church. So often I come across that with people who have a real problem with the word religion. They look at religion as being something which is all about rules and regulations, and you're either in the in crowd or the out crowd, and it's always about don't rather than you can. And there's something that is otherworldly and doesn't touch their everyday lives. But when you talk about spirituality, the lights go on, because they know at their very heart that life is more than just about the material or the mathematical or the chemical or the biological. They know there is something much deeper than that. And so it seems to me that so many people are longing to discover what's at their very center, the depths of their heart, but organized religion hasn't opened itself up to them in a way that really beckons them and attracts them. This Sunday is the fourth Sunday in Easter. It's known as Good Shepherd Sunday or Vocation Sunday. Jesus, as we heard in the Gospel this morning, the Good Shepherd, the shepherd that leads. Now, in the days that he was talking, the shepherds didn't follow behind with the dogs. They actually led from the front. And they spent most of their lives with the sheep. And so they became intimately involved in every detail of the sheep's lives. They knew every single one of them. And they knew their habits and their lives generally. So a deep involvement. And then you have the whole notion that actually Jesus is also the gate, the gateway through which the sheep go, the gateway through which we go to find our spiritual center. You know, the Easter period, which many people don't realize actually goes on for 60 days, is a wonderful period for contemplating the whole notion of rebirth, of new life. It is the central part and the most important part of our belief that after crucifixion necessarily comes resurrection. After little deaths in our life necessarily comes new life, new opportunities. That's a wonderful thing, albeit in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a wonderful promise to us, which says when we go through those really difficult moments, there is, after the storm, through that appalling stress and strain, there is the opportunity of optimism, of new life, new opportunities, and new things. That's a wonderful thing. Now, I just wonder how often church does that really well. How often do we communicate that this is the central part of our message? I come across so many people who think the church is just unbelievably boring and irrelevant. And that is really sad, and that is our fault, because actually all of us, not just me with the funny clothes on, but all of us are meant to be the good shepherds. All of us are there to open up to others what is the reality of this life-giving message. In the baptism services that we have here, I always say that actually, particularly with infant baptism, the real reason that we're there, yes, is to bring that little child into our Christian family, but the real reason is for the parents and the godparents in the Christian community to turn round and to promise in front of one another that we will open up for this new little child the reality of their spiritual center. So often one comes across people, particularly today where secularism is the leading religion in the world, we come across so many people where there is no scaffolding, there is no reference point. They don't know what you're talking about because nobody has ever led them into an understanding or a journey of discovering their spiritual center and the opportunities of their spiritual journey. And so when we come together in baptism, or in weddings, strangely enough, or in funerals, we have the opportunity of showing people what we really believe in at our heart level. You know, this isn't about a history lesson. It's not about intellectualizing thing. It's a question of what's at the core and the depths of our humanity. My old bishop, when I was a curate in England, said to me, "Charlie, there's one thing. There is no excuse for any clergy person doing a wedding, a funeral, or a baptism badly, or that is boring. No excuse at all. Because that is the moment when you're able to communicate with people who won't necessarily come to church very much, the joy and the love and the opportunity and the reality of a life lived in three dimensions, i.e. with a spiritual core and center to it. And of course, rebirth, new life, also brings in the whole aspect of healing. Do you know, all of us go through terrible crises in life, some more than others and some worse than others. And we all need healing. However, whatever the wonderfully sort of robust exterior we may show, underneath it all, we know we're not that. We know we're not. Underneath it, we're all frightened. We're all worried. We're all hurting in those moments. And so, as part of our Spirit-led Christian community, we're called to bring healing first and then opportunity for new birth and new life second. And you know, when you see people touched by the Holy Spirit and receive that healing and receive the knowledge that new life really is there, It's an extraordinary thing. You know, it's almost as if the chains fall off and there's a reality that, yes, this is real. It's not just an academic exercise. It's real. It touches real lives. Jesus said, I've come to bring you life, and I've come to bring you life in its fullness. This is not to be just an exercise in perseverance and getting through, but life in its fullness. And then Peter, as we heard this morning in the first reading, is saying, you know, you can do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. You can do nothing. And so unless we remain in connection with the Spirit, with the divine, unless we work on that, then ultimately we cannot be the channels through which people receive healings and new life. And I just finish. This week, we see the most terrible things going on. We hear that thousands of people have been killed in the earthquake in Nepal the day before yesterday. We celebrated, wrong word, we remembered the 130,000 people who were killed on the beaches at Gallipoli 100 years ago today. We remember the 1.5 million people, the 1.5 million people, the Armenians, who were killed 100 years ago in Turkey. Do you know, and also, we have seen terrible scenes of thousands of immigrants leaving the chaos that we have caused in North Africa and in the Middle East, fleeing to come across the Mediterranean Sea in boats that are not capable of taking them. Thousands of people dying. Now, I know these are incredibly complex political issues, and there is no practical, easy answer. But these are human beings. These are real people. They're not just numbers. They're real people. How do we respond to that? And again, I have no easy answers, but how do we respond to it in our hearts and in the way that we try and shape opinion? I wonder. It's a very difficult question to answer. But the one thing that people will be attracted to in Christ, and I'm sure this is why Jesus was immensely attractive, although intensely irritating too, I should think, but very attractive, is because people would say, see how he loves them. See how he loves them. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they said that of church? See how they love one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.